دكتور السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. How are you حبيبي؟
الحمد لله الحمد لله. And I must tell listeners how professional you look in that office of yours. I don't know if you do much work there, but you look professional nonetheless.
I'm feeling a bit tired this morning. Well, I said, don't start with me. You know, I just did 300 push-ups. I'm cutting down a little bit. But I'm going to go for this new exercise craze that has taken the world by storm.
Mm.
It's called pole dancing. Yeah, I got there's a, like a big pole in the holding up my garage there. So I think I'm going to try it next week.
Poor pole. Story that caught your eye this week.
And so, dear listeners, I have to once again share with you another story of great trauma. Now, I always said that, in the words of Nelson Mandela, never and never again. But yes, it happened again. Ghee was going at 79 rand for a 5-liter tub at the shop in Sparks Road. Who could resist that, eh? But, of course, the danger was also extreme, like trying to cross a river infested with crocodiles. But I had to get 2 tubs of that ghee. Tarkari is cooked just in oil, doesn't have that special rich flavor that artery-clogging ghee can give you. And so, in desperation, I went to the pizza place at the top of Sparks Road and had a word with Rashid, the young chap who does pizza deliveries on his motorbike. Ah, what a plan, eh? I put on his red jacket with the picture of a pizza on the back and put on his helmet, big helmet, and voila, I was a pizza delivery man. What a disguise. The front of the helmet had tinted plastic shield that blocked my whole face. And so I slowly rode down Sparks Road and turned into the parking in front of the shop. And then it happened, dear listeners. Then it happened. A loud, piercing sound that made my helmet rattle. The scream was like 1,000 screeching pieces of chalk on 1,000 school blackboards. My eardrums nearly collapsed. Dowdy! Hey, Dowdy, come here, yow! I parked the bike, and like a man going to the gallows, I slowly walked up to Halima Kala's house. I made salam to her and asked her how she was keeping. Then she said with a cackling laugh, she had such a cackling laugh, Dagi, hey, your Ruksana knows you went to see another lady. Well, I was completely puzzled. Kala, what lady are you talking about? And she announced, yeah, you, Dowdy, you think we don't know, eh? Everyone is talking about it. What, you're taking second wife, eh? How's this lady? She more pretty than Rukshana. Well, this, dear listeners, was getting a little bit out of hand. Khala, I really don't know what you're talking about. And she replied with a big grin, you, Dowdy, don't try to hide, eh? Where you went now, eh? Where you went now? I said, I went to Bosnia. And she replied, yeah, I know Imran, my nephew, was telling his friends that you went to Bosnia to see Croatia. So nice name she got, eh? Croatia. How old is she, Dowdy? Well, I put my cell phone to my ear and said, okay, tell them to wait. I'm coming to the office right now. with that, I mumbled, hello, I have to go, and I rushed out. And she shouted, hey, Dowdy, bring a photo. Don't forget to invite me for Walima, eh? And now to a story that caught my eye. Well, Maulana, there's a new expression, flying while being Muslim. It seems, that if you are a Muslim and you are on a plane, you better watch out what you are doing or saying, otherwise you could miss your flight. And here is the story. Khairuddin Makhzoomi, 26-year-old, was seated in the Southwest Airlines plane as it was waiting to take off at Los Angeles Airport. Let me read to you what was reported in the U.S. Independent newspaper. It says, once seated, he had made a brief call to his uncle in Baghdad, telling him how excited he was to ask a question to the UN Secretary General, Ban Ki-moon, during a dinner the previous day. Before hanging up, he said the Islamic phrase in Arabic of Inshallah, meaning God willing. Now, let's see what happened to that article of mine. This computer of mine is playing games, Yamalana. Let me just see if I can get it working. One second, please. Right. So, before hanging up, he said the Islamic phrase in Arabic of Inshallah, meaning God willing. He noticed a woman staring at him as he hung up the phone. He thought at first she had been irritated by how loud he was speaking. So he told CNN, one guy came with police officers within 2 minutes. I can't believe how fast they were, and he told me to get off the plane. An agent escorted him outside and asked him why he was speaking in Arabic, considering, in his words, today's political climate. And the agent told him, you need to be very honest with us with what you said about the martyrs, eh? Martyrs, tell us everything. You know about martyrs, the agent said to him. Well, this political science graduate explained he had only said God willing. And the questioning soon ended, but not before dogs were brought in to sniff his luggage and he was searched and his wallet was taken away. And he told the Independent newspaper, the U.S. is a land of freedom. People respect the rule of law. How could people be humiliated like this? I lived under Saddam Hussein. I know what discrimination feels like. Mr. Makhzoomi came to the U.S. in 2010 as a legal refugee with his older sister. Well, he was not allowed to reboard the plane and was given a full refund. He booked another flight with Delta Airlines. And Southwest Airlines spokeswoman Brandy King said in a statement that staff had decided to investigate what she said, potentially threatening comments made by the passenger. And she says, since that time, we have researched the event internally and also reached out to the customer. She says, the internal review determined that it was the content of the conversation, not the language used. Content of the conversation, not the language used that prompted the report leading to the investigation. Our crew responded by following protocol as required by federal law to investigate any potential threat. We regret any less than positive experience a customer has on Southwest Airlines. Southwest neither condones nor tolerates discrimination of any kind. Well. My dear listeners, I really like the statement by the spokeswoman for the airlines. What's her name? Yes, Brandy King. That is so appropriate because you have to be a first-class donkey to say nonsense like that. She said what? The internal review determined that it was the content of the conversation, not the language, that led to the investigation. I beg your pardon? The content of the conversation, not the language. What a load of bull excrement. Well, madam, you didn't understand the conversation, because if you did, you would know that he said, God willing. What kind of threat is that? It was the language that was your problem. You are therefore a stinking, dirty, rotten liar. And this is the best part. The best part. She says, we regret any less than positive experience that he underwent. My dear Mampara lady, less than positive experience? Why didn't you just say negative? Or maybe you should have said horrible, unacceptable, unjust, shocking experience. So my dear listeners, here are some words of advice. Actually, it's a warning. If you are seated in a plane in the good old US of A, please try very hard not to sneeze. Because if you do, and thank Allah for this, you would find yourself in a less than positive, having a less than positive experience, which means you will be back in the departure lounge. So there you are, the good old US of A.
Now, this boat that Israel says it intercepted, others say that it kidnapped. What do you make of it?
Let me say this. Those women are very brave. Let me also add that the whole exercise of taking the boat to Gaza was a huge success. Of course, they didn't reach Gaza. And they knew at the start, right at the beginning, that they won't reach Gaza and that the Israeli Navy would intercept their boat. So the whole exercise was symbolic, meaning that it was done in order to focus world attention on the inhumane blockade of the Gaza. That was the purpose. And therefore it succeeded. The mission was covered by the media around the world. And right here in South Africa, it has been given much prominence. Pick up the Star newspaper today in Johannesburg, and you will see the front page headline about the boat to Gaza. And it's on all our TV channels this morning. And the main reason for the coverage, the continuous coverage, and you're going to probably hear interviews and so on, is because, as you all know, a South African, Leanne Naidoo, was on board. And who else was on board? Among the 13 women was the 1976 Nobel Peace Prize winner. And her name is Mairead Maguire, a well-known peace activist from Northern Ireland. Now, I was thinking about this. Here is a genuine peace activist, dedicated to fight injustice, dedicated to fighting for the human rights of all the people in this troubled world. She truly, truly deserved the Nobel Peace Prize. Barack Obama received the Nobel Prize. Why? Well, for the ridiculous reason given that he will do things in the future to bring peace to the world. Can you believe it? Eh? Not for what he has done, but for what he may do. The members of the Nobel Committee must be seriously BDD, which, as you all know, is a serious mental condition known as Badam Dood Deprived, a condition in childhood that is as a result of a lack of this essential element in the development of the brain. Now, many are left wondering, how come Brother Hussein was awarded the Peace Prize, Nobel Peace Prize, especially those in Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Somalia who are on the wrong end of a U.S. drone. But as I was thinking of Mairead Maguire's Nobel Peace Prize and how she was passionate, she is passionate, about easing the suffering of the Palestinians. On the opposite side, the flip side, we have the recently departed Shimon Peres, who also received the Nobel Peace Prize. And he is remembered for contributing greatly to the suffering of the Palestinian people. You won't find greater irony than that, Maulana. And one thing we know, he was one of the main characters who started the whole business of building settlements in the West Bank and Gaza that has displaced Palestinians and brought incredible misery upon them. And what he started 47 years ago has not stopped. And this week, Israel announced the building of a new settlement in the West Bank. And as usual, the United States responded with, "We strongly condemn," etc., etc., etc. It's quite a joke, actually. Israel announces that it will be building a new settlement, and America always says, "No, no, 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 not good. Or this is not helpful to the peace process. Or maybe we are troubled by this move. Or the White House is very concerned about Israel's decision." You always hear this. You've been hearing it for the last 20, 30 years. Wow, eh? Such tough words. And of course, Israel ignores it completely, knowing that the U.S. is a eunuch. Eunuch. I won't explain what that means, except to say, in days gone by way, way back, the eunuch was the big, tough-looking character who looked after the harem. He guarded the harem for the sultan. The eunuch was trusted because he was harmless, and I will leave that to your imagination. Anyway, not only will the U.S. do nothing to punish Israel, but it has just rewarded Israel with a pledge of $38 billion donation for its bad behavior. And the bottom line is this, the world and the United States itself regards Israel's occupation of the West Bank as illegal and also settlement building as being against international law. So for 47 years since 1967 when Israel took over the West Bank, it has got away with acting illegally and no one does anything about it. It is a reflection on the uselessness of another eunuch, and that is the United Nations, which is supposed to uphold international law and is going to be more useless with respect to Israel. Bangi Saab is on his way out. Yes, of course, I'm referring to Ban Ki-moon. He's leaving the United Nations. His time is up. And the new man to head the UN, the new Secretary General, is Antonio Guterres, the former Prime Minister of Portugal. Well, I heard the United States Ambassador to the UN, Samantha Powers, speaking very animatedly, commenting about the appointment of Guterres. She said that they worked very hard to find the right person. That statement, looking at her making that statement, immediately made me wonder if the United States was not happy with any candidate, he or she will never get the job. And then I thought a little further that if Israel was not happy, then the U.S. will act to block any proposed candidate. And so, in my mind, I concluded that this Guterres character must be a friend of the United States and Israel. Well, that was just speculation, idle speculation. Then, guess what? I looked at the Jerusalem Post this morning. That is, of course, the Israeli newspaper. And what I discovered confirmed my suspicions. Confirmed my suspicion. Listen to this. Incoming United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres has been and will always be a friend of Israel. Former Israeli officials who have met with him told the Jerusalem Post on Thursday. Guterres came to Israel in 1993 as Secretary General of the Portuguese Socialist Party and leader of Portugal's opposition. He met with then Foreign Minister Shimon Peres, and then, at that time, the Industry and Trade Minister, Misha Harish. Following the visit, Guterres remained in close contact with Peres and former Prime Minister Ehud Barak, who both served under him in top posts in the Socialist International. That's another movement. Peres and Barak paid official visits to him in Portugal during their respective terms as Prime Minister, while he served as Portuguese Prime Minister. Harish said, "He was friendly and was definitely not part of the extreme left group in Europe. I don't remember any anti-Israel comments by him. I think he will be more fair and less aggressive in the UN than his predecessors." And Ehud Barak visited him in New York on September 20th. September 20th, mark that date. And told Guterres that he believed he would be the next UN Secretary General well before the world was talking about him. Ehud Barak posted a picture of himself with Guterres on Twitter, boasting 20 years of friendship with him. In an army radio interview on Thursday morning, Barak said he shared a common language with Guterres because they both studied physics. Barak said Guterres helped Israel in the European Union and the Socialist International Movement. Barak said Israel's ties with Guterres were built by its ambassador in Portugal and later the Labour member of the Knesset, Colette Avital. It was Avital who persuaded Guterres to visit Israel. And at that time, Guterres' interpreter was Abraham Moshika Hatzamiri, was one of the heads of the Labour Party's international department at that time. Hatzamiri, who was raised in Brazil, headed many Israeli delegations to Portugal and hosted many Portuguese Socialist Party delegations in Israel. Hatzamiri said he took Guterres to the Western Wall, the Yad Vashem Holocaust Museum, and Kibbutzim in the Galilee. He said Guterres had a good sense of humor and always spoke favorably of the Jewish state. At-Samiri wrote in his memoirs, he proved to be a true friend of Israel. So, there you are, dear listeners. The Secretary General of the United Nations is a good friend of Israel. Wonderful, isn't it? And so, expect less from the eunuch. The misery of the Palestinians is set to continue. Here's some latest news. Israeli forces on Thursday demolished the Bedouin village of Al-Araqib in the Negev region of the southern Israel for the 104th time. How many times did they demolish that? 104th time. Aziz Al-Turi, a resident of Al-Araqib, told the Man News that the demolition was seen by the community as a continuation of, in his words, crimes committed against our lands, and said that Israeli assaults on the village would only increase our determination to stay on our land, he said. Israeli forces began targeting the village with demolitions in 2010, along with filing multiple lawsuits against the residents and imposing more than 2 million shekels, which is $527,000 worth of fines. Now, if you think, you know, these Bedouins are very, very poor, the poorest of the poor. And it gets even worse. Listen to this. Israeli forces reportedly confiscated a tent used as a classroom in the Bedouin community of Abu Nawar on Tuesday. This was reported by the United Nations Office of Humanitarian Affairs. A spokesperson for the UN, Ophir Furison, told Man News that Israeli authorities confiscated a tent in Abu Nawar, according to the information, the tent was placed following a demolition of a classroom and a concrete ground that took place on September 27th. He added Israeli authorities demolished the classroom, which has been used to serve 15 third graders, and also leveled the school's yard. The school was a movable structure made of wood and tin sheets donated by the European Commission. So, dear listeners, I wonder what Antonio Guterres will do about this when he gets the report from his workers, UN workers on the ground. So, will he condemn Israel in the strongest possible terms? Don't hold your breath.
Light at the end of the tunnel.
Don't have very much today, except I picked up the paper. And you know what, Molana? Adverts can be very effective if they are short and sharp and witty, funny adverts. Catches your eye. And it says here that some signs of the times. At a shoe repair business, we will heal you. We will save your soul. We will even die for you. At the gynecologist's rooms, there was this sign. Dr. Jones at your cervix. At an optometrist, if you don't see what you are looking for, you are at the right place. On a plumber's truck, we repair what your husband fixed. On an electrician's truck, let us remove your shorts. In a non-smoking area, if we see smoke, we will assume you are on fire and we will take appropriate action. On a maternity clinic door, I like this one. The sign on a maternity clinic door. Push, push, push. In a vet's waiting room. Back in 5 minutes, sit, stay. In a restaurant window. Don't stand there and be hungry. Come on in and get fed up. And I like this one, the final one. At a radiator repair shop, best place in town to take a leak. Okay, I got one last one for you. It was a Tuesday when the judge passed a verdict against a certain lawyer's client. On Wednesday, the lawyer rushed into the judge's chambers. Your Honor, I just found out new information and I would like to file an appeal. And the judge said, what did you find out? After a few moments of silence, the lawyer responded, Well, I found out my client has another 5,000 rand still left in his bank account.
Uncle Abi, as always, Jazakumullah for your time. Much appreciated.
Always a pleasure. See you on the 23rd.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.